leader of Welsh Labour, and he intends to go in March. In the Commons, Labour leader Keir Starmer's thanked him for his work.
Mark committed his life to public service and lives his values every day. Quietly and patiently, Mark has been a titan of Labour and Welsh politics, and we thank him for his service and wish him well. Yeah.
Child killer John Venables has lost a parole board bid to be freed from jail. He was 10 years old when he and Robert Thompson killed Jamie Bulger, who was just two, on Merseyside. Almost 200 countries have agreed for the first time ever to transition away from fossil fuels. A draft agreement at the COP28 climate summit in Dubai was revised after some nations thought it didn't go far enough. The Chancellor says it was inevitable economic growth would be subdued while interest rates increased to tackle rising prices. The UK's economy shrunk by 0.3% in October. Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Laura Trott, insists the economy's turning a corner following tough choices.
Because of those difficult decisions, we've been able to do things like we did at the Autumn Statement a couple of weeks ago, reducing taxes on businesses and reducing taxes on working people, so we can focus on growth now and growing the economy.
A regulator is proposing a cap on fees on MasterCard and Visa transactions between the UK and the European single market. Research is claiming British firms paid up to an extra £200 million last year. And a teaser has been released of one of Kate Middleton's big moments in the final instalment of The Crown, which is being released tomorrow. The clip portrays the now Princess of Wales at a 2002 fashion show at St Andrews. That's the latest. I'm Kat Suave.
Thanks very much, Kat.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Oh, what a grey day. Damp and pretty horrible, really. Turning more showery this afternoon and evening. A brisk northeasterly wind making it feel cooler with a maximum temperature of 8 degrees Celsius. Tonight, cloudy with showery rain, gradually easing, a minimum temperature of 0 degrees. Wrap up warm.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit SEHBAC.com for help with your home.
Yes, a very good afternoon to you. It's Bob Simpson here on Phoenix FM at 3 minutes past one, and that means it's 1, 2, 3. Big thank you to Keith for sitting in manfully for Michelle for the last 3 hours on Eat My Brunch. 13th of December.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Yeah, I think we should get a little Christmassy, don't you?
Later we'll have some pumpkin vows, a party bucket around, Christmas tree, have a happy holiday.
Yeah, Brenda Lee and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, number one in America after, what, 60-odd years, I think? Yes, really good for her. Anyway, just to let you know, coming up on the show today is part two of my chat with Daphne Norris, who's a local resident here in the local area. She actually lives in Billericay at the moment and has done for 65 years. Part one of that was last week, and if you missed that, you can catch up with it on the Phoenix FM website, phoenixfm.com. Just look for me under presenters. I'm Bob Simpson, and you'll find that one on the list, and you'll be able to listen to part one. So it's part two today, and that'll be coming up around about 20 past one, something like that. Got quite a few Christmas songs for you today as well, and some news of what's coming up on Phoenix on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Right now, though, bit of Justin Timberlake.
But I don't mind. Just wanna rock you, girl. I'll have whatever you have. Come on, let's give it a whirl. See, I've been watching you, and I like the way you move. So go ahead, girl, just do that ass shaking thing you do.
So you grab the girls and you grab a couple more, and you all can meet me in the middle of a floor. So the air is thick, it's smelling right. So you pass to the left and you sail to the right. Don't be so quick to
Boom, 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 boom
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
It's a magical time of year, and that's the Beatles with Magical Mystery Tour. It's Bob Simpson on Phoenix FM. Coming up after the break, we're going to have some Electric Dreams and a bit of travel news, and then I'll be chatting to Daphne Norris. Stay tuned now.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full atoll and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
With the colder weather almost here, it's time to make those all-important home improvements to keep you warm and secure through the winter. Upgrading your windows and doors with SCH VAC will not only help improve the energy performance of your home and save you money on your heating bills, but will also keep you safe with the latest security features. Plus, get up to 35% off windows, doors, conservatories and extensions. Visit SCHBAC.com to find your nearest showroom and see our new product ranges. Terms and conditions apply.
Your local hospice needs your support this festive season, and there are so many ways that you can make a difference. Purchase your Secret Santa and stocking filler gifts at any St. Francis Hospice store. Host a jumpers or gym jams day at work, or support the Christmas tree recycling service. The team at St. Francis Hospice will pick up and recycle your real Christmas tree for a donation with a brand new sponsor, the Sharp Group. So support your local hospice this Christmas.
Hi, join me, Joe Bailey, on Drive, weekdays 3 till 6 p.m. with local events, Drive Live 7.
sessions, classic and latest hits, independent artists, requests, features including guest the intro, interviews.
Hello.
Buzzing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
3 till 6 PM on Phoenix FM. See you there.
Blast it.
Took my breath away a little bit there. It's like Joe can't breathe to these people.
98 FM.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Yes, that's Giorgio Moroder and Philip Oakey, and together in Electric Dreams.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Now, there's quite a queue of traffic in Ongar Road heading for Wilson's Corner, and that seems to be going back past the little roundabout for the Doddinghurst Road. Other than that, Wilson's Corner not looking too bad, other than Ongar Road. In Rayleigh Road, just after Shenfield, heading towards Billericay, looks like there's some two-way temporary traffic lights there with a few delays. Billericay itself is looking fine at the moment, but on the A120, 20, there's an accident involving three vehicles partially blocking Coggleshill Road between Bradwell and the A131 at Marks Farm roundabout. Westbound traffic is slow back towards Coggleshill and eastbound is slow back to the A131. In Chelmsford, we've got some slow traffic on the Baddow Road approaching the Army and Navy roundabout, and also temporary traffic lights on Broomfield Road for emergency works at Valley Bridge. Expect delays on approaches there. That's all I've got for you now. We'll have another look in an hour's time. Okay, well, regular listeners will know that I regularly play a song for Daphne on my show, but it's been a bit different in December because a couple of weeks ago I went and chatted to Daphne, for a good hour about her life in the local area from the 1930s to the present. We heard part one of that chat last week, and as I previously said, you can find that on the Phoenix FM website. We're going to hear part two in a moment, but also news that on Christmas Day at 2 o'clock, the whole thing will be going out as a special show, and it's a fascinating listen. I'm sure you'll enjoy it if you tune in for that. But here's part two, where we start roughly in the 1950s and go up to the 1970s. So we've talked about wartime. Let's move through to, say, the 1950s and the 1960s, where I'm guessing you would have been sort of a teenager and into your 20s and grown up, really. So,
well, I was 15.
Right.
In 1950.
Okay.
I left school after Easter, and immediately after Easter, I started work.
Okay. What did you start work as?
Much to my father's disappointment, he wanted me to be a secretary of some sort somewhere, so I had to learn, and I couldn't learn typing and the other bits. I didn't want to learn. I told him I wanted to go to Silo's. Silo's was a film factory.
Okay.
I don't know how I got to know about it, but it was in Worley and in Woodman Road. It's a big factory, and one half of it was the roll film. That speaks for itself, because they did the films that went in the cameras. We were the elite, the other end.
Oh, yeah. What were you
We were in the flat film. And it's all, you know, you're working with film in the dark.
Okay.
Well, when I first started, I went into the portrait room where I met my friend Ivy. She was the first one to ask me if I knew what the procedure was at lunchtime and all the rest of it. And she said, follow me and I'll show you the ropes. So that was all right. Well, I was actually doing the worst possible thing I could do. And that's writing down what the different people in there had examined, what size film they'd examined. It's difficult to try to tell anybody who hasn't seen it, but it was like in front of you, you had an eight inch square with a pinkish light behind it.
Right.
Because the portrait room, they dealt with different sort of film and different sort of colouring. Mm. And they coated all the film in this factory, and we had to look, or the others had to look for flaws.
Okay, yeah.
So any size they had, they had to pass it across the front of the screen in front of them and then look at the surface of it.
And you're doing this in the pitch black, are you?
Well, once you get used to it, it's not too bad. You can see that there are other bodies in there.
Right.
It's a bit like I am now, where I've lost most of my eyesight. You know, you couldn't really differentiate too easily, although it was a lot easier than it would be now.
Okay.
But I was writing down what they did. Well, my writing was the worst thing that they could have given me to do, because even my school record said good work spoilt by bad handwriting.
Don't worry, I've got a few comments like that on my school reports.
Well, I always had it, but... Yeah. I think it was a total different a disappointment to Miss Willett because she wanted it to be right.
Right.
It still isn't right. And now, of course, it's even harder to write. But so I was in there for a little while, and then they moved me to the dental room where there were machines to work. It would be very difficult to try and explain how it worked.
Okay.
Because I'd get totally tripped up with my tongue with that.
Not to worry, but what was the dental room then? What was that about?
We made the packs that the dentist shove in your chops.
Oh, okay.
To
do an x-ray.
X-ray your teeth.
Okay,
it's all all x-ray material, right. Sort of thing.
So that was work. What about home life at that time?
Well, we had Mum not particularly well. Mm. The daft part about it is she had heart problems right from the time she had Malcolm, which was in 1944.
Mm.
And when she died at 95.
Oh, goodness me. Right.
She was alive, but she wasn't living the last few years of her life. Not to my life.
Okay.
But it was one of those things. But, it was nice in the dental room, and I met somebody who actually ended up being a friend after she'd left and had a baby, and I found out that I was going out with her cousin.
Oh, okay, right.
And she was the best thing that could have happened to me. Glad was absolutely absolutely dream to be with.
Ah, lovely, yeah.
She was a friend as well. She always greeted everybody who came in, and this past year she would have been 100, only she died the year before, unfortunately.
I know, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, so now at some point in this period, you met a man and got married. How did that happen?
very romantic, actually.
Oh.
Well, I wasn't expecting it. I used a cycle to work. And Jim used to be on a motorbike,
right.
And he lived in Billericay. So, of course, it was further for him to go. And very often he passed me on the way going to work, and he often passed me on the way coming back from work.
Right.
I always knew it was him, but one day he more or less followed me until I turned off, and then he went. I don't know whether he was going to talk to me then or not, but a few days later, as we came down Priest Lane, he passed me and he turned into Woodway, which is the turning I have to go to Gordon Road.
Right.
And when I turned into Woodway, there he was standing with his bike. And I think the only thing that made him stop was that I didn't have bad ankles in those days, and I didn't wear trousers all the time.
Saucy.
So we were talking, and he asked me if I'd got a boyfriend, but I said no. I had up until about 2 months before,
right.
But I gave up on him because he lived too far away.
Okay.
So he said, do you fancy going out with me? Well, I was 22 at the time. So I thought, well, nobody else has asked me. So I said, yes, when do you suggest? He said, what about tonight?
Mm.
You know, and it ended up, he came back that evening, and we went to the Eagle and Child in Shenfield.
Okay.
And when we walked in the door, he said, will you hang on here a minute? There's somebody over there I've got to speak to.
Okay. Right.
When he came back, bear in mind, this is our first
date
we had.
Yeah.
When he came back, he said, that is my brother-in-law and his brother, of all people to be there. He said, I've had to tell him not to tell Wynne, his wife, Jim's sister, that he was going out with, or you've seen with me.
Okay.
Simply because it was our first date and he didn't know whether it was going anywhere,
yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, Jack was a lovely bloke, actually, so he didn't tell Wynne, because right. Wynne would have broadcast it all over the place.
Oh, you didn't need the internet in those days then? So,
no, oh no, no. And she worked on the telephone exchange. Oh, well, in Brentwood.
All of Brentwood would have known.
Yeah. So
romance blossomed and eventually you got married.
Yeah, we were married about 11 months later.
Okay.
Well, it was his suggestion.
Right.
Going home one day in September, he said, I think it's time we got married, don't you?
Okay.
Well, my idea was that there was no chance of any hanky-panky with us in those days. His mother was always home of a night, and my mum and the kids were always in mine, you know, and that would be frowned upon. Anything hand-holding or anything.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We sorted out and got the date for, well, I tried to get all the different ones we needed. I upset one of his aunts because I asked the uncle to come and not.
Oh.
I was only told the uncle's name. I didn't know there was an aunt as well, but of course they both came.
Yeah.
Lots of sorting out beforehand. My mother made the bridesmaids' dresses, and she went everywhere looking with me for a dress for me.
Mm.
And we got one in the end.
I suppose this was the late 50s, was it?
58.
Yeah. How easy was it to get hold of stuff for things like wedding dresses and all that? Had the sort of the effect of the war gone away a bit?
Well, it was more a case of what could be afforded.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
I mean, they were nothing like the price they are now.
No.
And I think mine was lovely, although the silver stripes in, I wished had been gold, because gold is my favourite colour. So
okay.
We got along all right. As I said, when we got married, we lived with my mother-in-law. We rather forced the issue, really, because one night when I was round at his house for the evening, it was planned, obviously.
Mm.
I said to him, we've got to sort out which one we're going to see first, whether we're going to see Dorry with the flat and see what space she's got for, you know, for us two to move in, or are we going to Taffy, who was one of his mates. He was the electrician at work.
Right.
He'd got five children, I think.
Oh, wow.
And his wife, obviously. Oh, I don't know what size house they have. I'd never been there. I don't know whether Jim had. But anyway, it went all right. You know, I was talking to Jim, not to his mum.
Yeah.
I went off upstairs and she wanted to know what it was all about. And he said, well, we've got to find somewhere to live when we're married, and you don't want another son staying here with you, you know, so we've got to find somewhere.
Yeah.
And she, of course, she knew Taffy. And she said, well, I'm not having you go and stop with Taffy and all those children. What happens if you start off with them yourself? So, she said, I don't know anything about the woman, but if she's in a flat, there won't be a lot of room, so I suppose you'd better come here.
Yeah, so the ruse worked then.
It worked.
Yeah, well done.
But we got on.
Yeah, good.
Her and I got on.
Good.
She did most of the work.
Right.
Well, I was out at work anyway, but till I had my son. I had him 5 years after we were married.
Right.
And we'd had a bit of a time of it, and I came indoors with him for the first time to my mother-in-law's, and she said, let's hope nothing happens to this one. And I said, nothing can happen to him.
Right.
My mum's first and your seventh grandchild.
Right.
So
yeah.
Where it came from, I don't know. I hadn't even thought about it in those terms, but...
So we're now in the early 1960s, I would say, yeah?
63.
Okay, yeah, and Christmases again. What was Christmas like in the 60s for you?
Once I had Paul, I got a tree that I love. I've still got it, but it's one that comes apart, and it's the stem and the base is separated from the branches, and I can't get it together.
Oh, dear.
I've got to get into a built-in wardrobe, which in the past was very easy, but not so easy now because I've got a five-drawer chest of drawers in front of it with a load of stuff
on. Oh, dear. And you can't see what you're doing either, can you?
No, yeah. No. So...
Well, you'd had a son and daughter by the early to mid-60s, I think?
Yeah, 66, my daughter was born.
Right, yeah. So, Christmases with the children, then. What do you remember about that? Had things moved on a bit since wartime with presents and food and all that?
Yes, I mean, when Alison was born, that was in 66, we were very lucky because we got this... the house we live in, I still live in, and it was a three-bedroomed house straight off. I wasn't expecting that. I went up and told them about having had another child. From that, she was saying, you picked the right time because we've taken all the prefabs out from the main road, and we've built a new three-bedroom estate, three or four bedroom estate down there.
Yeah.
And without blinking, I just said, oh, that's fine, I'll have one of those. And oh, the poor woman, she didn't know where to look. I mean, I didn't mean it, because I know that there are so many people wanting to get into these houses.
Right.
She said she was awfully sorry, but they'd got all the ones in flats to give them to first, and I said, don't worry, I was only joking.
Right.
And I think that could have helped, actually, okay, because we did get
one. You got one. Excellent. Yeah.
And this was built on the same site as one of the prefabs, and that particular prefab used to be Jim's brother's home.
Okay. So. Must have been a great feeling walking into your own home and shutting the door behind you.
It was lovely. I can remember walking in for the first time. I brought Alison in the pram, and I think Paul was probably sitting on the end of the pram. And it was a long old push up the path, but went through and in through the... what they classed as a shed then,
right.
The side door. The floor in the kitchen was absolute, well, everywhere was thin, but this was a black floor with all different colours, tiny colours over that, that shone.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to walk on it. No. And now I've got the key at the beginning of the month, but we didn't move in until the 28th of May, which is pretty quick after Alison's birthday in February.
Okay, yeah.
I had a lot of stuff, which Jim didn't actually approve of at the time, but he did tell me it was good that I kept doing it. I kept getting things I wanted or... knew we would want in a house that would get pushed back. You wouldn't be able to always get what you wanted at the right time.
Right.
Fortunately, my mother-in-law had two big cupboards, one in the kitchen and one in the sitting room, which met with a wall, but they had a lot of room behind the stairs.
Right.
And I used to keep the stuff in there. I got the bottom of the pram loaded with different bits and pieces, and two children in the pram, or one walking by the side of it, and keep bringing bits and pieces down. Mind you, the first thing I brought down was a kettle and tea bags and and some dried milk so that I didn't have to worry about wanting a drink.
What about Christmases generally around that time? What do you remember about them then? You didn't have to go out the garden and grab a rabbit, did you?
No, that didn't happen.
No. So you had a shop-bought turkey or something, did you?
No, I didn't ever buy turkey. Okay. I always bought chicken.
Okay, yeah.
Chicken and usually a big lump of lamb or beef. Well, more likely to be beef, chicken and beef. Just went, sort of had a good Christmas dinner. I think we invariably had it just four of us.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy's mother used to go to her twin sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, she was happy enough to do that. One night, one week, I think I'd started work again by then. I was all behind with doing up the kids' presents. And I was sitting on my bedroom floor at 2 o'clock in the morning, finishing off the last drop. 2 o'clock in the morning rings some nasty bells for me.
Yeah, I've done some of that in my time, for the children, after they've gone to bed. And
you can't do it when they're about. No. You can't tell them to keep out of the way and while I went upstairs. Bound to want something.
Okay.
But...
Well, that's lovely. I think we ought to have some more music, don't you? Can you?
Well, I think it's probably easier to get have the music than...
You're doing very well. So?
White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
It's an absolute classic. And, for many years, that was the top-selling song in the entire world. I think it's been overtaken now, but let's hear it.
Right. Okey-doke.
The treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Tree tops glisten and
lovely. Bing Crosby and White Christmas, ending part two of my little chat with Daphne Norris. Thank you so much, Daphne, for allowing me into your home and chatting to you for an hour. If you'd like to hear the first part of that, it is on the Phoenix FM website now at phoenixfm.com. And that second part will be up there later today. And also next week, of course, it'll be part three. And on Christmas Day at 2 o'clock, you can hear the whole thing. So stick around for that. And thanks once again, Daphne. After the break, ooh, another Christmas song.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org. Take the first step to recovery.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Every Wednesday on Phoenix 98 FM at 7 p.m, it's the Orient Hour, bringing you the news, views and special guest interviews from the Brea Group Stadium, Brisbane Road. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Phoenix 98 FM for the Orient Hour.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
That's the Ronettes, and I saw Mummy kissing Santa Claus. Well, we just heard Daphne talking about Christmas dinners. It's a story about a woman who eats a Christmas dinner every day, and she's revealed how she's mastered it so well it costs her just £2 to make it and can do it in just one pot. And she claims it's the most nutritional dinner. The lady cooks herself a Christmas dinner every day. She's 68 years old and has eaten over 8,000 roast dinners since the year 2000 and cooks it in one pot for 40 minutes after work. She believes the diet of a roast dinner a day keeps her slim and is also cost effective. Don't think it'd keep me slim. Here's London Beat. I've been thinking about you. That's London Beat here on Phoenix FM. Coming up to news time now, 6 minutes to two. Can fit a couple more in though, including this one. There'll be a few of these at Christmas. It's called Drunk and Hungover.
I want to kiss you right now in the middle of the street. I want your hands in the pockets in the back of my jeans. Oh, I could fall so I'm
Christmas from us all here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.